When Alan Met Ray, written by Ian Pearce and Andrew McGibbon, starring Harry Enfield as Ray Galton and Paul Whitehouse as Alan Simpson.
The tragedy of 1947 was in a different key. The highest tuberculosis rate in Western Europe. Nothing short of all-out medical war will conquer the terrible disease.
I'm ready for him now, nurse.
Hello, Raymond. I just need to make sure you're comfortable so the doctor can do the procedure.
Thank you, nurse. Should I be worried?
You've no need to worry. You're in good hands. Could I have 100 mils of saline solution ready in a secondary needle and a local sedative on standby?
Yes, doctor.
In those days, tuberculosis, TB, was a death sentence.
The sedative is in the smaller hypo.
Thank you, nurse.
I was given 6 weeks to live. I had every symptom known to man except coughing up blood. One of the many ways I didn't resemble Frédéric Chopin, who used to cough up blood all over his piano. I just had night sweats, dreadful tiredness and the rest, you know. My GP was hopeless. Just take a bit of malt and cough mixture, he said. In the end, my brother saved my life. Back home on leave, he took one look at me and rushed me to the hospital. From there, I was taken by ambulance to the sanatorium with a sheaf of x-rays on my chest, like a set of references. The doctor was carrying out a procedure called an artificial pneumothorax. They deliberately collapsed one of my lungs to force out the infection by inserting a needle into the chest and injecting air.
Thank you, nurse. Now I'm going into the pleural cavity. I think you can manage this in one go. You're a young chap. Right, and here we go.
It's all right, Ray. Try to relax.
And I remember thinking, if I survive, how long would I be here in this place? When would I see Mum and Dad? I worked at the Transport General Workers Union. I had a nice job. I enjoyed it. I had friends, lovely people. Would I still have a job to go to after being in here? At least I was alive. I knew I was alive.
The priest was carrying out something called extreme unction. I knew it was extreme because it was in Latin. He kept saying my name in the prayer. Alan, your humble servant. Alan, your disciple. Alan's soul. Alan's spirit. I thought, does everyone receiving last rites get called Alan? As he prayed, I thought I was having visions, but it was real. I could smell his breath. He smelled like wafers. It's the funny thing is, the day before, I was going to work on the bus feeling perfectly all right when I started coughing up blood. It was alarming, but I didn't think it was that serious. Till later that night in bed, I had a full hemorrhage. The doctor told me Mum to contact the priest while he arranged for transport to take me to a specialist hospital. A priest! I suppose he thought I wouldn't make it. As it turned out, me having a full hemorrhage was the best thing that could have happened. According to the doctor who treated me at Milford, it cleared out all the infectious rubbish. I was 18, but they put me on a ward with a lot of old men. They turned out to be lovely and very friendly, you know.
How are you feeling today, Raymond? Who did these sheets for you, really? Some of the nurses leave a lot to be desired in the bed-making department. I've seen better corners on a wheel.
Well, I've been in bed for quite a while. I had no energy at all, just a feeling of being disembodied, really. It was difficult to distinguish between being asleep or awake. My face was always cold, very cold. The outside door, which was always open wide, led to a veranda. Beyond it, I could see the grass and the trees covered in snow. It was lovely, really, but freezing. And this was the winter of 1947. I kept thinking, why was the door open? Are they waiting for the spring of 1948? But I couldn't summon up the energy to ask someone to close it.
There we are. If you need me, Raymond, just squeeze the button in your hand. That's it. Yes, you've got the idea. I tell you what, let's put the button over here for when you really need it. Put your buzzers down, all of you, or there's no Ovaltine tonight.
Just relax, Alan, so I can get an accurate blood pressure reading.
You know, you have to remember that this was a time before they had the drugs. TB was a very infectious disease, the White Death, they called it. It was like leprosy. People were terrified of it. So, at the sanatorium, we were in a custodial situation. Most young people my age were getting on with their lives, having fun, going to dances, meeting girls. They weren't stuck in here. Luckily, I started to get better as soon as I arrived. I was 10 stone 4 pound at the time, having already put on weight. The head of the sanatorium was Chief Physician Dr. Charles Duquesne. He was all powerful. He ran the place along hierarchical grounds. People were deferential in his presence. You know, it was always Sir whenever he was in earshot, and the Governor when he wasn't. We called him other things as well, some of which aren't repeatable.
Very good, Alan. You're making progress. We're very pleased. And you put on weight, which is no bad thing at all.
Oh, well, I heard that eating was a good thing to do when you got TB, so I'm going to eat my way out of it.
That's the ticket, Alan.
Raymond, it's all right, Raymond. I'm here. Put your arms around me. Ready, everyone, and lift.
It took 6 nurses to lift me out of bed and then get me back into bed. The pain was excruciating. The blood rushing to my feet, I felt faint and warm and...
Well done, Raymond. I know that was hard, but it's done now, so just try to relax.
The nurse's name was Sylvia. She was lovely. I was falling asleep listening to her musical voice.
Just you rest, Raymond. I'll bring you some Ovaltine later.
Ovaltine? Oh, living it up as usual, eh?
This is the British News. 1948, a memorable year of sport, beginning in Switzerland with...
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, nurse. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to introduce 2 new guests to you who will be staying with us for a while. This is Alan.
Morning. Oh,
we're all pals, Chris and Harry.
How do? Oh, oi, oi, another tall fella, I see. Have you thought about joining the police? They're very short-staffed, you know, what with the war and all of that.
No, not really.
And this is Raymond. He's had a bad time of it, I'm afraid, and it might be a while before he fully comes round. So, what are you working on this morning, chaps? Ah, ashtrays.
Yeah, we've finished these, so we're polishing them now.
Yeah, there's loads more down at the workshop. I reckon we must have made about 50 this week.
Yeah. At least. Aluminium, look. We can sell them for 4 bob to the hardware shop in town.
Well, they sell ashtrays, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Ashtrays, handbags, lampshades, you name it.
Yeah, I'm making a glider. I'm going to escape from this place next week.
Always a joker in every pack. The ashtrays are good for morale, Alan, as you'll see.
Well, ashtray makers to the world, Alan. Yeah. Well, they were godlming anyway.
Yeah. Carry on, everyone. Nurse, I'd like to see you, please.
I'm just making Raymond more comfortable.
Now, please, nurse, right away. Good day, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Good day.
Most days, we'd be accompanied by the sound of the in-house hospital radio. It was terrible, and the presenter, Alistair Mac Maguire, was even worse.
All the way from the west coast, well, the west coast of England, near Weston-super-Mare, it's the Barry Jenkins Big Band with a special take on GNS's Modern Major General song.
Why can't you say Gilbert and Sullivan? GNS sounds like a department store.
It does, doesn't it?
It's time now for Up and Down Your Neck of the Woods. Marjorie Smith in Ward B says she lives with her mum, dad, husband in a terraced house in Nottingham with a lovely park at the end of her street. The shops are just around the corner, though only the post office remains, as the German bombers did their worst back in 1941. Some houses in her street got hit too, but Marjorie's home is still standing. Marjorie left her neck of the woods to join us here in our neck of the woods 7 years ago. So just for you, Marjorie, here's the Nottinghamshire Boys Barbershop Quartet with Show Me the Way to Go Home.
Suddenly, without any warning, Ray, the bloke slumbering next to me, blurted out his first words since arriving.
Not this song again. 3 times today. 3 times.
Oh, hello there. Hey, I'm Alan, your next door neighbour. Glad to see you've finally made radio contact.
I'm Ray. Nice to meet you. How many times is he going to play that song today? If I ever meet the Nottinghamshire Boys Barbershop Quartet, I'm going to do him in with a Nottinghamshire Boys Barbershop razor.
Well, at least the music isn't as bad as the presenter. He reduces names of bands to letters. TCBO is the Count Basie Orchestra. TDEO is the Duke Ellington Orchestra. BC is Bing Crosby.
And GNS is Gilbert and Sullivan, I know.
Alan seemed like a decent sort of bloke and a little more on my wavelength than some of the others in the ward who tried to start conversations with me in baby language. I couldn't talk properly because of the operation, but hearing that awful song again caused something in me to snap.
Ray and I found we had a lot in common, football, music, crosswords and comedy. He was different to the other people in the ward in that he was like a caged lion, 6'4" tall, like me, and barely 9 stone. If he'd had a chance, he'd have been out of there with or without his voice. He was trouble and I liked that.
Show me the way to go home, sung for us there by the Nottingham...
Every 3 months or so, I was given a detailed medical examination and had an X-ray taken of my chest. My mum always insisted on coming with me.
Stop fidgeting, Alan.
I'm not. I mean, I can't help it. I might believe in here today.
Oh, you might not. I don't want you getting your hopes up too high. You must be better before you leave. You nearly died in your own bed.
I can't help it. I really want to leave.
Ah, hello. Thank you both for coming. Don't get up.
Hello, Professor.
I've got good news for your mother, Alan. You're very much on the mend. Let me show you. The bacilli in your sputum are greatly diminished from the last examination, and the presence of granulomas on your first X-ray in the upper part of your right lung here and here have disappeared on the latest X-ray. In their place, fibrotic scarring.
Scarring? What? So that's good, then?
Well, yes.
So I could be released soon?
Milford is not a prison, Alan. However, the presence of a new sub...
The dark spot he was referring to looked serious. The governor was a decorated RAF commander as well as being an expert on TB. I sometimes think if he could have bombed my lungs from the air, he would have. But as he droned on, I knew what was coming.
So I'm afraid Alan will have to stay in the sanatorium for the foreseeable future. You know the gardens are very pretty here in the summer, so it's not all bad. The nurse will see you out. Good day to you both.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm sorry, Alan. I'm sure it's for the best.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
You can go back to the ward now, Alan.
Goodbye, Mum.
I'll be back on Sunday.
I'm my own grandpa.
Look, it was only a foul because the ref said it was, but it wasn't. He couldn't see.
Foul or no foul, they still would have won. That's the point I'm making.
Oh. Alan, I'm sorry to hear you aren't getting out of here after all yet.
Oh, thank you. I don't think we've met.
My name's Wally. Wally Gardner.
Nice to meet you, Wally. I'm Alan.
And I'm Ray.
Hello, Ray. The governor doesn't like letting his patients go, Alan. I should know. I've been here 4 years.
Well, he knows best, I suppose.
Governor, what does he know? He's got a large piece of shrapnel lodged in his head, courtesy of a German fighter plane. You can see the scar on his left temple. He's not all there.
Well, he seems to know his stuff, Wally.
The governor told me that because I had to collapse my lung, I might have to stay here longer than Alan.
That's awful, right?
But there's a cure. It's called streptomycin. The Americans are churning out streptomycin like there's no tomorrow. But our brand new NHS won't be buying any.
I could get you some of that strepto stuff if you like, Ray. I've a mate who plays in a big band on the Cunard Liverpool to the New York route. He gets me all that sort of stuff.
Is it a pill or a nasty tasting medicine?
Lord, no.
I'm good. I hate pills and medicine.
You have to inject it.
Oh, no thanks.
Sign me up.
Payment in advance, Ray.
Okay. How much?
£5. Oh,
that's not bad.
Per injection. You have to do one every day for 4 weeks.
What? 155 quid? I haven't got that kind of money.
Neither has the NHS. That's why we're stuck in here.
Well, think it over. Now, lads, I'm popping out tonight.
Popping out? What do you mean, popping out?
Yeah, I'm popping out to the chippy and the newsagent to get stuff for the lads here. I've got a system worked out where I can get in and get out without being spotted.
Ah, teach me your system, Wally. I want to learn how to do popping out.
It'll cost you £500.
What?
Private tuition is expensive, Ray. And you'll be learning from the best.
Hey, listen, no one should be popping out here. It's strictly forbidden.
£500, Wally.
Thank you. Meet me outside on the veranda at 5 this evening.
I'll be there.
Right.
Look, you're going to regret this.
I regret not having this conversation with Wally sooner.
Lovely fish and chips. Thank you, Wally.
Yeah, thank you, Wally. Lovely.
Chris, eat it out here, not in the ward. Otherwise, they'll smell it when they come round.
Sorry.
So, when's your op, then?
Oh, I'm not sure, no. Soon, I think.
Now, listen to me, Chris. You've got nothing to worry about. What I don't know about your procedure, you could write on the back of a postage stamp.
A bloody big postage stamp, Chris. Come on,
hang on, leave the boy alone. He needs reassurance, Wally. I've had what he's having. He's having some of his lung took away. I'm just saying, there's no one else in here reassuring me before I went in the operating chamber.
Well, it's okay, Harry, I'm not afraid.
Well, every procedure related to this illness does carry a very small risk, but what you're having done will be a benefit in the long run.
Oh, thank you, Harry. I'm very grateful for your advice.
Let me take you through it so you know what to expect, all right?
Fancy a chip, Alan?
That would be an illicit chip, right? Oh,
go on. Oh.
Yeah, very nice. But they'll come down on you like a ton of Savoy's if they find out you've been out.
Oh, Wally knows what he's doing.
So how was your illicit trip?
Oh, it was the best evening of my life so far, Alan. There's a small pub in town called the Royal Oak with a little cubbyhole seat so I could keep my distance from other people.
Right, look, this is not good. You'll wear yourself out.
You've got to come to the pub. If the staff get suspicious, we can tell them we're builders working nearby.
Oh, well, builders who keep coughing up bits of lung. Not on my life.
Hey, you can meet your girlfriend Sandra there.
On the other end, when are you going?
Tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
Clean up. Put it in here. In this here bag, quickly. Wash your hands before you get into bed. Hurry. Oi, Harry, get into bed now.
Well, I haven't finished explaining the procedure to Chris.
Yeah. Harry, Squeaky Susan's on the march, quick. Oh, what's the point?
Harry?
Yes, nurse?
What are you doing out of bed?
Well, I'm just reassuring Chris about his upcoming treatment, nurse, honest.
Well, you can do that in the morning. For now, he needs rest, and so do you. Is everyone well this evening?
Yes, thank you, nurse. Yes.
Not bad.
Very well. I'm on duty, so if you need anything, I'm right here. And remember, whispers only, please.
That's right, yes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I know that was you, Wally.
You've got to whisper that snore, Alan. We did it, Alan. The barmaid bought my line about being builders from London, and here we are. Cheers. Oh,
look, it's 7:15. Sandra should have been here at 7 p.m. She's not coming. I told her exactly what train to get and everything.
Don't panic, Alan. Just give it a few more minutes.
We shouldn't be here, Ray. It's wrong.
You wouldn't be saying that if Sandra was here.
Oh, my Lord, you are not going to believe it.
What?
Look. It's one of the junior doctors from the hospital. We've been nobbled.
Quick, out the back way. Hurry.
I didn't know if the junior doctor saw us, but after that, me and Alan were terrified. What was the punishment for leaving the hospital? Solitary confinement, transportation. Come to think of it, it might have been preferable to being banged up in a sanatorium. The next day, Alan wouldn't say a word to me, and I didn't blame him. I'd made him go to the pub with me against his wishes. We made a narrow escape, and now I felt dreadful about it. But the following day, he couldn't stop talking.
I got a letter from Sandra's father. He owns a sweet shop in Wallington, by the way. Brock's Confectionery. I mean, can you believe it?
Well, read it to me and I'll tell you.
Dear Alan, I'm sorry to hear that you are unwell and are having to endure a long stay at the sanatorium in Milford. TB is a terrible disease and my wife and I wish you well.
Sandra's father had read the riot act to Alan. He didn't want him anywhere near his daughter and that's why she failed to show up in the pub.
Yours faithfully, Mr. Gordon Brock. For humbugs and chucks, it has to be Brock's.
That's a disgrace, Ellen.
If it wasn't for the fact that I was forced to stay in this bloody prison, I'd get a train up to Wallington and ram half a pound of Victory V's down his stupid throat.
Everton mints are better, Ellen.
Go, this place! Do you know, Ray, I sometimes wonder whether we might be better off on the outside. Taking our chance with some black market streptomycin. I'll tell you, I'm going nuts in here.
Good morning to you. It's time for
our break. Shut up, Mark! For God's sake! Ray, I've got to get out. I've got to get out. I'm not staying here. I'm not right.
Show me the way to go home.
And just at that point, the junior doctor, who Alan and I saw through the window of the Royal Oak, came into the ward and calmly walked over to our beds.
He stopped at Ray's bed, leant in and said,
"Do you want any towels, gentlemen?"
Then he moved on down the ward, except inside one of the towels was a hastily written note. It read, "My sputum is clear."
It was obviously from the junior doctor. He had more to fear from us than we did from him. I calmed down pretty quickly after that.
12 months, dark with conflict, 1949, like all years, leaves its message for posterity.
Blimey, Christmas decorations, eh? Is it really that time already?
Comes round earlier every year. Did Wally get these off the back of a truck?
No, it was me and Chris what made them. What do you think of them?
Yeah, we made the streamers out of lavatory paper and serviettes. I painted them.
He's very artistic, is Chris.
Yes, Steve. What do you think of them, Ray?
It recalls the splendour of the Palace of Versailles under the reign of the Sun King.
What?
They're very nice, Chris.
Yeah.
I just hope you didn't use up all the lavatory paper.
Good morning, everyone. It's Mark Maguire here, again with the very best in radio entertainment. It may be wet and gloomy outside, but you all know what I say to that.
Be of good cheer.
That's right. Be of good cheer.
Well done. You're a couple of sharp fellas, you two.
And now it's time for our twice-weekly half-hour programme for all you ladies in the sanatorium. Itla, it's that lass again. So, just for you, here's the Trois Benjoliers band and Whistling Rufus.
Oh, God. Mac and his in-house radio service were truly awful. Alan said it was like Chinese water torture, only using sound. I think it probably made people feel worse.
Who can resist the foot-tapping qualities of the Trois Benjoliers?
We can!
Now we come to our popular sweetheart section. So, let's make a toast to... wait for it.
Husbands and boyfriends, may they never meet.
Husbands and boyfriends, may they never meet.
Bravo, Ellen!
How did you know that?
How did you know what he was going to say?
But, as I always say...
A little bit of what you fancy never hurt anyone.
A little bit of what you fancy never hurt anyone.
Have you got Max's scripts there, Ray?
And now for Maud in Women's Ward B.
This is just for you.
This is just for you. Don't fence me in by who else? BC.
Don't fence me in. We're in a sanatorium.
Soon, we devised a game to stave off the boredom while making the other patients laugh. A game of verbal anticipation entitled Guess the Next Phrase.
Yeah, it was a bit like tennis. Whoever predicted Mac's words got a point.
Yeah.
So, as Christmas approaches, I want you to think about...
the real message of Christmas.
The real message of Christmas.
15, love. Your go.
That's great.
So, sit back. Relax.
Close your eyes and transport yourself to a winter wonderland.
Close your eyes and transport yourself to a winter wonderland.
15 all. I reckon that's worth 2 points, sir.
Not a chance.
And what can we see through the snowy woods?
Yes, it's Santa's workshop, and this is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Santa's workshop, and this is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Brilliant. Oh, here, can I play?
Oh, clear off, Chris, or we don't play doubles. My go.
After a few months, we got to be so good at it, we could anticipate his every word.
And as we approach the end of today's broadcast...
It only
remains
for
me
to
say
thank you
for
tuning
in
and
until next
time.
Chin up and cheerio!
Chin up and cheerio.
That's very good. That's really good.
Mac Maguire?
No, you two. You are funny. That is hilarious, I think.
Chris is right. You two should be on the wireless.
Yeah.
Listen, you've got the faces for it.
Let it go.
The months seemed to speed by now, and after we'd exhausted that game, Alan and I hit upon an idea that eventually was to keep us occupied and get us through the boredom. We started writing little sketches.
Yeah, like Take It From Here.
What's that?
It's a new show with Jimmy Edwards.
It's on the proper wireless, the BBC.
Do you think we can do it?
Oh, of course you can. Problem is, you got to get on the in-house radio first.
How do we do that?
By presenting the idea at the next radio committee meeting.
They have a committee for the in-house radio?
They have a committee for everything here. But I'd avoid making any jokes in your proposal about Mac or the governor if you want to get on. Mac was the governor's wireless operator during the war. They flew bombing raids together.
Oh, blimey. First they give it to the Germans, now it's our turn.
And they're both on the committee. The governor's the chairman. They are looking for new shows, so maybe you should tell them what you're working on.
What do you think, Alan? Let's go! We've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, except our freedom. I get the feeling the governor will be happy to keep us here until 1990.
Placing its faith in the ordinary people, Britain bravely faces 1950.
Everyone tells me he's no good.
Now, remember what I told you before, Alan?
What was that, Mum?
Don't get your hopes up too high. You know how easily I cry.
Come on, it's come.
My mum always came with me to my 3 monthly reviews. Our moods would lift beforehand and drop afterwards with each assessment, like lungs breathing in and out.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Doctor.
Morning, Doctor.
Thank you for coming. Alan, would you mind taking your shirt off? I'm sure your mother's seen it all before.
Okay.
That's good, Alan. Now, breathe in quickly. And breathe out quickly.
I don't know how he knew where to place his stethoscope on my ribcage. I'd put on so much weight, I'd develop stretch marks.
If you can keep doing that for me, Alan. In.
At each review, the Gov would monitor my breathing, make me cough, breathe in quickly and breathe out quickly, while stabbing me with his stethoscope all over my chest.
Now, the growth rate of bacilli is much reduced. And today, your breathing sounds much better than it did when we last tested you.
So, that's good news?
It's better news, but your sputum isn't clear.
Then, just as he'd done at all the previous examinations, the governor's mood would darken, and my mum would start sobbing. And like a one-man parole board, the gov sent me back to the ward for another 6 months.
Good discharge. Good day to you both.
Hey, come on, mum. Listen, 6 months will fly by. It's all right.
Later that day, when Ray asked me to come to the pub with him again, I found it hard to say no.
Oh, Ray, I'm not sure we should be in the pub again.
Hey, it'll be all right, Al.
Oh, cool. All right. So should our show have music in it?
Oh, yeah, well, we could use some of that awful stuff that Matt plays.
Build sketches around some of the tunes.
Like, show me the way to go home.
Hey, and that dreadful military tune, you know, with the marching drums.
Oh,
no, please. It's bad enough that he plays it without you singing it as well. Now, right, so we want the sketches to reflect life in the sanatorium.
Oh, that's a bit boring, Alan. Oh. The listeners have suffered enough. We need something fresh.
Oh, no, look.
It's that junior doctor again!
Oh, come on, we've got to leg it.
Get moving, Alan.
Come on, I'm not as fast as you.
Now, to proposal 5 from 2 patients, Alan and Ray, who we all know. Would you like to say anything in support of your proposal?
We're attending the monthly meeting of the in-house radio committee. There were a few doctors, ward patients, Nurse Sylvia, Mac Maguire and the governor, who was also the chairman. It's very clear that Mac Maguire and the governor were good friends. Before the war, the governor was at Bart's Hospital, and Mac Maguire, incredibly, would be dishing out his dreadful in-house hospital radio fare to TB patients whilst working as a medical engineer at Bart's.
We'd presented variations of our idea at every radio committee meeting that year. Ray was very optimistic that this time we'd be successful. But to me, getting the sketch show idea looked just as hopeless as it had at the other meetings. This time, however, we'd come up with an event-themed idea which was different and, well, we had nothing to lose. I decided that Ray should lead. Again, he was very good.
It would be a series of sketches to go out on the evening of the 12th night of Christmas, where traditionally masters become servants and the servants become masters.
Yeah, think of it as ashtrays for the ears.
I think it's a wonderful idea. It's creative and funny.
Yeah, I agree with Sylvia.
Well, I disagree.
We noticed that after Sylvia offered her support, the governor, who was sitting next to her, grabbed her hand and squeezed it in a father-like way. After that, she appeared to be less enthusiastic about our idea. Then the governor took a vote.
Those in favour, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Those against, raise your hand and say nay.
Nay.
Well, looks like I've got the casting vote as chairman, and I vote against the proposal. Oh. I'm sorry, chaps. Maybe next time.
Then, something very strange happened.
I think this is wrong, Charles. They should be allowed to make a radio show. They've been trying for over a year now.
We couldn't help noticing the look of absolute horror on the governor's face. It was as if Sylvia was defying an order. A look passed between them that went very deep. Sylvia retracted again.
Better luck next time, boys. Sorry.
Thanks, Sylvia.
Okay. With this vote, Proposal 5 is rejected. You can always submit a new proposal at the next committee meeting, which will be on the 8th of December. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
We still couldn't make it past the first barrier. We were devastated.
We have to drown our sorrows over the committee ruling, Alan.
Look, I'm still not sure about going to the pub, Brown.
Come on. Look, we'll have a quick one in our cubbyhole and be back on our way to the sanatorium before we can say Nottinghamshire Boys Barbershop Quartet.
Wait a minute. Look, who's that through the window?
Oh, no, not the junior doctor again.
No. It's the governor.
What?
Look through the window.
Holy smoke, you're right. It is the governor. He shouldn't be here.
I tell you, he looks pretty merry.
Pretty plastered, more like. He's with Sylvia. I think they're arguing.
Now he's trying to kiss her.
Oh, I knew there was something going on between them. You saw what I saw in the committee meeting, Ellen.
Oh, Sylvia looks really upset. She's trying to leave, but the governor isn't letting her.
The governor shouldn't have his hands all over her like that.
Look, it's none of our business, Ray. Come on. We should head back now before we get spotted.
Oh, Sylvia's leaving the pub.
No.
I'm going to talk to her.
No, look, come back, Ray. Oh.
Sylvia? What are you doing here?
Ray? Well, you shouldn't be out of the sanatorium. Go back.
Sylvia, don't do this. Not here. You two, you're not allowed out under any circumstances. You are both very infectious. You have probably infected drinkers in the bar and are a threat to the public at large.
We haven't been in the bar, unlike you.
Ray is not infectious, Charles. Let's get you home now, and you boys should go back to Milford.
I outrank you, madam. If I say he's infectious, he's infectious. How dare you countermand me?
If we're infectious, what does that make you?
You know nothing about TB, young man. For your information, I had TB in my 30s and recovered. Sylvia had it when she was a baby and recovered. QED, we are not infectious. Our sputum is clear. Yours is not. I wanted to give you chaps a chance, but I knew you'd let me down. Ow! Ow!
Ray, Alan, go now. He'll forget this happened.
No, I won't. Sylvia's right. Look, we have to go now.
This isn't over.
No, it's over for you all. Right.
Ray, for goodness sake.
Go, you two. Come along, Charles.
I can get up by myself. I don't need you to help me.
We went back to the hospital and for the next 5 days we lay in bed waiting for the governor's response. Then we were called into his office and we were made to stand as he assured us it wouldn't take long.
I've done all I can for you here. You need to be in a place with better facilities.
I don't get it. What?
An establishment with more up-to-date X-ray scanners, a wider staff ratio. And one of the best TB centres in the country. That's where you'll complete your treatment.
Finally, Ventnor in the Isle of Wight. Gateway to freedom.
No, I'm sending you to Workington.
Workington?
Well, where is it?
Cumberland.
Cumberland?
On the Solway Firth.
Oh, then miles away.
You're to be transferred after Christmas, January the 17th to be precise. Good day, gentlemen.
So that was that. It was the governor's decree. We were going to Workington of all places.
I wouldn't have minded that much, but for the fact that Alan and I had done a lot of work on our radio show and we were keen to make it for the January 6th deadline, 12th night, it was all we had.
So we tried our luck one last time at December's radio committee meeting.
Come in! Well, 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 look who's here! I haven't seen you in many a year! If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
And there we have it, unless there is any other business.
Nothing from me, Charles.
No, nothing here. Yeah.
No. No. Sylvia, anything from you, my dear? Oh, where is Sylvia?
She's not here.
Ah, yes, quite so. Very well, if that's everything.
Hang about. What about the last item on the agenda?
What?
Our radio show. It's the last item.
Joy days.
Oh, yeah. From 70.
Very well, I suppose we must. Yes. Alan Ray, you have the floor.
Well, yeah, so like Ray and I said last time, we want to do a series of sketches across Twelfth Night.
What do you mean by a sketch?
A sketch is a short review, a skit, a comedy routine, a satire.
We already have plenty of that sort of thing on my show.
No, this will be completely different to your show.
The young people will love it. Well, all seven of them.
You chaps have been transferred. Yeah. Why are you so insistent?
It's bound to be vulgar. Communist cut to rap, I shouldn't wonder. It's certainly a no from me.
I'm inclined to agree with Mac. Yeah. It's an emphatic no from me. Yeah. Let's put it to the vote. All those in favour of a sketch show, please raise your hand. I see. Those against? 50-50, I see. Inconclusive. Which means that we can't give permission. Perhaps you might like to propose it in the next meeting. Except, of course, you won't be here.
Sorry, I'm late.
Too late, I'm afraid, dear. The meeting is closed.
No, it's not. We haven't had any other business.
Very well. I move that we take that vote again, as Nurse Sylvia has only just arrived.
Ray and Alan's comedy show. What a good idea. Well, what are you waiting for, Charles? Take the vote.
Sylvia? Nurse, the committee rules state that any member marked as absent when a vote...
Take the vote, Charles.
Very well. Those in favour of a sketch show, please raise your hands. Those against... The motion is passed.
Thank you, Sylvia. You're a little belter.
Oh, I think I love you, Sylvia.
Gosh, steady on, boys.
I want to see you at once, nurse.
After my rounds, Charles.
If you two damage that equipment, you'll be for it.
So, we performed a series of sketches on Milford's in-house radio with help from some of our friends on the ward.
Ever wondered, Alan, what it would be like if the patients become the medical staff and the medical staff became the patients? What would it be like, Alan? It might sound something like this.
Nurse, I just can't live without you, nurse. I can't tell my life about you, nurse. But when the time is right, I will.
Meanwhile, the patients are performing a play dressed as the doctors. Do you mean the physicists by the post-war German satirist playwright Friedrich Dürrenmatt? No, Hamlet by William Shakespeare. Take a listen.
So you just want me to read this one line here? Just this one line here on the paper, nothing else? Right you are. TB or not TB? That is the question.
I don't remember that scene in Hamlet. I was during the bit where you fall asleep, right? Have you ever wondered, Alan, what you would say to one of the patients if you were one of the doctors?
My sputum is clear. Yours is not.
10 points, Alan.
Give me the cure to my TB, streptomycin. I hung this in my home and my family. Streptomycin.
When we first arrived here, we couldn't wait to get out of Milford. Now, Alan and I were packing to leave, and it seemed like everyone in the sanatorium was coming over to wish us well and to thank us for our one and only show last night on the hospital's radio. Alan's mum couldn't stop crying, and I was shedding a tear or two myself.
Anyway, good luck to you two, and listen, I don't want to see you back here ever again.
Thanks, Harry.
All the best, lads.
Ah, cheers, Chris.
What I don't understand is, why are you going to Workington?
Look, we've been selected for a very special treatment, haven't we, Alan?
Oh, streptomycin.
I want the cure to my flame TB. Streptomycin.
No such luck, lads. No, just, more close observation.
Oi, have you heard the news?
What news is that, Wally?
Word is, the governor's for the chop. And the
Get this. His wife's left him too. No one's saying anything yet, but the district neb's found serious shortcomings.
Oh, I'm going to miss you, Wally. You're like a talking local newspaper.
What are you going to do without me?
Come up and visit us in Workington.
I will. I do charge a fee for extramural work, but yeah, we can talk about that later.
I've got a message for you two to go to the chief physician's office.
Oh, all right. Well, he wants to give us a proper send-off, right?
No, well, he just wants to rub it in.
Come in. Ah, yes, come in, you two. Take a seat. I have the notes here from Dr. Duquesne and understand from the nurse that you've been packing, which is excellent. Transport should be here in about an hour or so. Do you have any questions?
What happened to the last doctor, professor, sir?
Dr. Duquesne has taken a new position for the time being. I'm Dr. Franklin, acting chief physician, but please call me Bob.
Oh, all right. Bob? So, can you tell us any more about the facility in Workington, Dr. Duquesne?
Well, he wasn't very forthcoming. Workington? Well, it's a very advanced centre for the study of chronic tuberculosis and how to cure it. There are a lot of fascinating papers coming out of the research there. But why do you ask?
We just wonder what it was like, Doctor. Bob.
That's where we're headed.
No, you're not. You're headed to a sanatorium in Ventnor, on the Isle of Wight, not Workington.
Eh? What? But we thought you...
We have no idea why Charles was sending you up there. You've been here 3 years, and you both look very healthy. If you play your cards right, you'll be back on Civvy Street in a couple of months. The Isle of Wight Sanatorium is for patients well on their way to recovery. I would like to do an X-ray and examination before you go. Just routine, nothing to worry about.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin.
Oh. Call me Bob.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Thank you so much, Bob.
So we were off to Ventnor on the Isle of Wight.
It was the first time we'd been abroad, eh?
Yeah, it was indeed, Ray. Finally, our sputum was clear. Looking back, it was quite an experience, although the writers of this thing...
may have jazzed it up a bit for dramatic purposes, changed a few names and characters, that sort of thing.
Well, quite, but that's writers for you.
I'm almost glad we had TB, Alan.
Well, if we hadn't, we wouldn't have met. Imagine that.
I think we knew at that point we could be writing comedy professionally, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely we did. We wrote a letter to Dennis Norden and Frank Muir, who are our heroes, asking if we could be their T-boys and watch them work. They sent us a charming letter back. Charming, but gently giving us the elbow and advising us to write to Gail Pedrick at the BBC. They said he was very keen to find new writers. We sent some sketches and then we got that letter. That letter, Ray.
Which we still got, of course. And we'd still read it if we knew where the bloody thing was.
Please do not read more of this than appears on the surface, but we read your script and were highly amused by it. Would you ring my secretary and make an appointment to see if we can do something for you? I went over to Ray's house in St Helier and I got off the bus and I ran, and I mean ran, down Newhouse Walk, waving this sheet of paper like Chamberlain coming back from Munich. He doubts whether I ran, but...
Yeah, you probably speeded up when you got near the house.
And it was written... British Broadcasting Corporation, and we showed it to our friends, and if nothing else ever happened, we always had this letter to say that we weren't a waste of time.
We were contenders.
We were contenders.
In When Alan Met Ray, written by Ian Pearce and Andrew McGibbon, Paul Whitehouse played Alan Simpson and Harry Enfield played Ray Galton. Young Ray was played by Don Gillet, young Alan by Lee Ross, Nurse Sylvia by Mika Simmons, Dr. Duquesne was played by Tony Gardner. Harry was played by Simon Greenall. Dr. Franklin was played by Toby Longworth. Alan's mum and Squeaky Susan were played by Karen Bartke. And Wally was played by Phil Cornwall. Mac Maguire was played by Andrew McGibbon. And the junior doctor was played by Ian Pearce. Original music was written by Ozzy Temple and arranged by Duncan Lamont. When Alan Met Ray was directed and produced by Andrew McGibbon. It was a Curtains for Radio production for BBC Radio 4.